Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Puck Dynasty, brought to you by part of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Network. It's Friday, January 19th. I'm Ryan Black. I'm here with my good friend Evan Diebert. Say hello, buddy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Black. How are you this Friday night?
Same as every Friday night. Much like Pinky and the Brain want to take over the world, I just want to go to bed. It's 8:43. My kids are sleep regressing. It's a nightmare. I'd say I've made a huge mistake, but it's all for the best, you know. Got to watch some good Oilers games this week.
Oh boy, nothing but good Oilers games the last. What would that be? 2 months?
12
now.
12,
17 wins out of the last 20 or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. It's I still don't take us seriously as a cup team until Cody Ceci is gone, and I'm not sure how I feel about Stuart Skinner as the number one in the playoffs, but we'll make the playoffs and we'll, you know, see where it goes from there. This week we are finishing up our top 50 prospects. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting to our U23 list. Did you see that one that dropped from The Athletic this week?
I did give it a glance over, yeah.
I do not love that list. There is some stuff in there that I take issue with. So I'm looking forward to getting into ours. But first, we got to get through our top 50 prospects. So just to recap, we did 1 through 30 last week. I hope you listened. If you didn't, go back. It was a good show. It was a fun time. We enjoyed ourselves. But the top 30 went as follows: Connor Bedard, Adam Fantilli, Luke Hughes, Brant Clark, Matvei Michkov, Carlson of the Leo variety, Logan Cooley, Will Smith, Lane Hutson, and Zach Benson rounded out our top 10. Zellweger, Mintyukov, Cutter Gauthier, Ryan Leonard, Devin Levi, Frank Naser, Jesper Wallstad, William Eklund, Korchinski, Nikishin rounded out the top 20. Stankoven, Slavkovsky, Faber, who I feel was low, Juracek, Edvardsson, Jiří Kulich, Matthew Putra, Dustin Wolf, Yaroslav Askarov, and Dylan Gunther came in at 30. So we're here to finish up our top 20 this week. Maybe make some revisions. Faber's having himself a game tonight again, pal. Are you seeing this?
I didn't. I just got off work myself.
Brock Faber in a 5-4, looks like they're going to win. I'm just going to bring up the live stats and just to be up to date. He had 3 assists. Oh, it looks like they switched one of his goals to assist. 3 assists and 1 shot, 1 hit. He was a -3. But he had himself a game, and I think all 3 of those points were on the power play.
Yeah. Well, I saw Scandella's what, done for the year?
Scandella, you mean Spurgeon?
Or Spurgeon's, yeah, Spurgeon.
Scandella, he's been done for a couple of years.
That guy
really found his way out of the league, didn't he?
Well, you know, they were both Wild players, defensemen, into the nest. Sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Matt Dumba but, is not playing very well for the Minnesota Wild
right now. No, that's true.
Yeah, Spurgeon's done for the year.
So that opens up that power play spot for him.
Dude, that power play spot is open forever, though.
Well, I know, but
who's coming?
Yeah.
Like, if they draft a guy this year, say they somehow end up with Zaboom at the draft, he's still 2-3 years away from cracking the league, a year or two. Like, he's got a 3-5 year runway of unchallenged power play time. So unless they go out and spend money on Augustus Bear, which we'll get into this later, but that would be stupid money. You know, we're seeing it with Toronto. They went out, tried to sign a power play guy. They didn't have to. You know, Morgan Riley was fine. Detroit is also probably fine, but they're playing the contract angle. Minnesota has not a full cap to play with, so I'd say why spend the $4 million to get a guy who might put up 5 to 10 more points and restrict Faber. I mean, clearly they're okay with him getting paid on his next contract and they're just giving him the minutes. Anyways, we will tweak our list after we're done our top 50. Let's dive right into it. We're at 31. The guys that we were talking about bringing in next were Rossi, Nyes, Lekkomäki, Snuggerud, and Yurov. I'm just going to make sure. Perreault was another guy. Connor Zeri and Gavin Brindley, I would say, are the guys we need to sort out next. So, do you have a preference? Do you have guys who you don't think we should talk about in the next five? Do you have guys that you think have to be considered top of the list for 31? What are you thinking here?
Well, those guys are, you know, for coming up next, like there's a guy like Matthew Coronado, who's on our original list, who I look at for around here. And then those guys are kind of like right in the mix with your Jimmy Snuggerud and Dalibor Dvorsky and those guys. But those guys just coming fresh off such a great World Juniors. And
which guys? Brindley?
Brindley and Gabe Perreault. And yeah, and Lekaramäki. So it's,
you know, it's the only tricky thing I would say about that is World Juniors is fine. Yurov is a point per game in the KHL over the last like 2.5 months. And I'll take a guy producing in the KHL over a guy who had a good World Juniors on a stacked team. Like, to me, and we'll sort this out, the guys we should be talking about right now, they're all in a similar clump. So I think you have to go by the level of competition and the production they're putting up there. So for me, that eliminates, forget Dvorsky right now. I'm not interested in Dvorsky right now. I think Yurov, I think Coronado, I think Rossi. Nyes is right there in that conversation. And maybe you take a pro Brindley. Like, I really like those guys, but they're not producing against NHLers or KHL players like these other guys are. Yeah. So my thoughts are the answer here is Yurov. Because the only thing blocking him from the first line is Marco Rossi. And I don't, well, he certainly has rejuvenated his stock this year. By no means is he a lock for PP1 and line one next year, especially given that Yurov is a Russian. Russian. They're going to play together.
That is true. And it's not like we're talking any rush on getting guys in there quickly, but I was reading a thing that that he might do another year in the K next year too.
I haven't seen anything definitive either way. I've seen that he can sign this year.
And he has. He can, yeah. There was, and it was just talk, and I didn't get too deep into it, but the idea was that he could maybe sign with Minnesota to lock that in and get loaned to the K for the season.
Yeah, I guess what I would be thinking if I'm Bill Guerin is get him over as fast as possible. I'm not loaning him to the KHL with this talk about extension contracts and longer deals and Putin there. Get him the heck out of there. There's no reason he can't play in the NHL next year.
Yeah,
he's got plenty of experience. Worst case for me is he's third line center. I think the way they would deploy it would be Rossi, Yurov 1-2, and then you've got the best shutdown third line center in the league in Eriksson Ek. So you'd be strong down the middle. I don't see him not coming to Minnesota this year. He's already on my watch list for leagues if he comes over in spring before the fantasy playoffs. So
where I'm at on this one is you've watched more of Yurov than I have.
Yeah.
And I know how much you like all these other guys too. So if you have Yurov above them, I'll definitely trust your opinion on that one.
Yeah, I think that the opportunity is too much to. So who has a similar opportunity on this list? Not Perreault. Not, I mean, Brindley, sure, but he's probably a couple of years away. And Columbus does have quite a few wingers. Lekkerimäki isn't going to be first line in Vancouver for a long time. Matthew Nyes is up and down the lineup in Toronto. He's gotten a lot of opportunity. I still like him as a 60 to 70 point guy, but, and you and I had this conversation about, I think it was you and I were talking about this, he's never going to be the shooter on that Toronto power play.
No, well, no, and he's going to be fighting for
ice for the fifth spot.
for that fifth spot. So, and his foot speed has kind of looked a little suspect sometimes when I watch him play too.
Yeah, his smarts make up for it. I love him as a two-way player. I think he's a guy who at even strength is going to become a very important player for Toronto. I just don't know that if you're talking, if we assume all these guys are really close in skill, which I'll say they will, some are better at shooting, you know, Coronado and Snuggerud are probably higher, the highest goal scoring potential. But Yurov to me is the guy who has the clearest path to power play one. They have incentive to play him with their best player. So he's going to be lining up with Zuccarello and Kaprizov soon. And my guess is, in order to get him over, Guerin's going to say that too. They need him to come with all this dead cap. Like, they need him to come. Minnesota wants to compete. So I like Yurov in this spot. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but his production is right there with Kaprizov at the same age. Clear path to the NHL. He could be here in the next 2 months. I mean, what's not to like?
This is true. This is true. So he was a 22 draft pick. He was born in 03. So he's a... Okay. Yeah, so he just turned 20.
Yeah. He's got, I think, the second highest point totals in the KHL for under 21, and the other guy ahead of him is like 5'7". So he's not coming. Like, I was scouring the KHL for a couple leagues, and Yurov has been, I mean, he's point per game at his age in the KHL, regardless of what you think of the KHL's level of competition this year. It's still, at worst, the third best league in the world, and he's doing very well there. So I like Yurov there. So let's talk 32. Boy, there's some snipers here. Do we take?
And it's hard. It's hard because Rossi's having such a great resurgence here too. But if we're leaning more towards Yurov coming in and taking that first line center spot, then that he's gonna be a bit of a thought for later down, at least in this next group of guys. I like for here, and this is a good opportunity for him too, is Coronado with the Flames. He's putting up great numbers on the Wranglers in the A. He just needed that year of experience in pro, and he'll be able to, you know, the Flames top six needs like some life shot into them. It's almost like their bottom six players are the ones that are carrying them right now.
Well, what's his name is it, Coleman is ripping it up right now. Yeah. And I mean, you know, to your point of Rossi, like he's 22 and he's a shade over .5 points per game in the NHL this year. So as the block for Europe, I don't think so. As a lighting it up, well, he's the oldest guy we're talking about here, and he's only 0.5 point per game. So it's not like, and he's like, again, all the opportunity in the world. Minnesota wants him to be line one. And I mean, Kaprizov's had a slow start. To me, I think that we're talking about, I like Coronado here. I like Snuggerud here. I like Lekkerimäki here. And I'm not ready to put Perreault this high. Something about that line still just irks me, how he's not going to be playing with Leonard and Smith in New York, you know? And I haven't seen him. I mean, in fairness to him, we haven't seen him in any circumstance other than playing with the guys he's been playing with since he was 7 years old. But, like, what happens?
Yeah, I wonder what kind of, like, when he does come up. So I would imagine he does another year at Boston Probably. College next year, and then he does a year in the A. So does he catch a bit of Panarin's, you know, last few years of productivity? Because it's like Lanzi. After that, and you get Zibanejad, he's going to be, you know, geez, it's hard. It's hard to say if these guys are getting old, because you can remember they were drafted and we weren't that too young of bucks when they got drafted.
Kreider will be gone. He'll be part of the next wave in New York, presumably, or he gets moved as for an all-in piece. But, yeah, I'm not ready to put Perreault there just because I'm not sure. After watching Lekkerimäki, seeing a fair bit of Coronado and Snuggerud, I like all three of those guys to be, I will cautiously say, 30 goal scorers at the NHL level. Opportunity wise, let's say Snuggerud and Coronado probably have a little bit better path to top line ice. Snuggerud's going to look really good with Robert Thomas. Coronado, the only thing I would say is there are a lot of options at wing in Calgary right now, and a lot of paychecks in Calgary right now. Mm-hmm. So, second line might make, I mean, he got his shot early in the year. They had him on PP1. He scored that one beautiful goal in his first or second game. And then he really kind of faded off, which isn't to say that matters, but they tried him. They gave him a shot. Snuggerud, I mean, whose shot do you like better of these three? it's tough to say. And for me, Vancouver has a lot of wingers as well, you know, especially with them playing the Lotto line together. If Lekkerimäki came over at the end of this year, he's not getting top line ice for a while, unless
I think really he slides over to the A immediately.
Yeah.
And he'll finish the year there, and then he'll get opportunity to make the big squad. But he's better off to do a year
probably
in the A and get called up later in the year if he's performing well, similar to Coronado, and kind of maybe give him opening lineup and then move him down if Lightning doesn't strike.
Yeah, if you're looking for immediate help, Snuggerud's probably the guy with the best shot at cracking opening night next year, just because St. Louis is trash.
Like, what do they got for wings? Like, I know they got Kyrou and Thomas as their top centers.
They have Buchnevich. Yeah. They have, oh boy, you're putting me on the spot here. I always say I can almost list up. They have Shen. They have Sammy Blaze. They have, oh, this sucks. I'm way better at listing rosters than I'm being right now.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank too. Like, I know there's a few guys in there, but
Neighbors is playing well. You see that play yesterday?
No.
it was pretty funny. All right, who are we missing here? We've got most of them. Kevin Hayes, that's an easy one to forget. Kasperi Kapanen. Oh, Stad. Stad's the one I was really forgetting. And then they got Toropchenko. So to me, the top six next year is probably some combination of Buchnevich, Thomas, Kyrou, Snuggerud, Neighbors. Shen has fallen off a cliff this year. And so there's a pretty clear path. Plus, he does something that no one else on that team does. Which is pick, yeah, like, he's a guy who can play with Thomas and Kyrou no problem. So I like him for next year, given that I think they're very similar players. I like him to hit his peak probably a little bit sooner because of his earlier exposure to the NHL, and there's no one coming behind him. So in St. Louis,
Scandella plays for St. Louis, so he's not done.
Is he playing this year?
He's not playing. He's 38 been... games. And
Shut up.
I know.
Wow. Yeah. Look at us, hey? This is an off night. Should we start over? You want to start over? We could just start over.
That's because...
I think your mic just unplugged there, bud. So we've that determined
that is let's go there. Let's go Snugs, because there is a gaping hole outside of Buchnevich. They got no wingers.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, so we're gonna go with Snuggerud there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I could hear you. It just sounded like your mic unplugged.
Oh, okay.
We're okay. Sounds fair. Snuggerud at 32. All right. You know who's making a case this week to be included in this conversation right now?
Who's that?
A guy we had at 40. 46 on our initial list is Ridley Greig.
Oh, that's
top line center Ridley Greig to you. Doing
and pulling some weight at that top line center.
He is such a good player though. Like, remember World Juniors, the shortened year?
Yeah.
When he won player of the game twice for Canada in Bedard's first kick at the can. He was unbelievable. He was one of those
there in the summer tournament too, and he just got hurt, right?
Yeah, that's the problem with him, is he plays a big man's game in a small man's body. But like, when he's healthy, he is a friggin' pit bull. He's so fun to watch. He's the type of guy who you're going to hate to go against in seven-game series. His upside isn't the same as what we're talking about with these guys, though, simply because of opportunity in Ottawa.
Yeah, they just have all that cap tied up into Norris and Stützle. And Norris, who knows? Who knows? That wasn't the wisest signing at the time.
You know what? That's a bet that I have no problem with my team making, though, because he was on a 40-goal pace. He looked great. And if it, were it not for the injuries, we might be saying it's a great contract. You know, like, are we going to crap on Sanderson's contract? Because the same thing could happen to him tomorrow, but right now it's a great deal. But look at Owen Power in Buffalo. Not really living up to his new deal, so it's... You hit and you miss on those 8-year deals. At the end of the day, in 2 or 3 years, that 8 mil is more like 6 mil. So with the cap going up and whatever, it's a shame about the shoulders. But if they could move them, I think they would. You think they're gonna move? Have you been keeping up with? Wow, Jesus,
Christ. Jacob Chychrun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You think they're gonna move him? He doesn't want to stay.
Yeah, I guess they kind of have to, right? Like,
man, imagine watching your team give up two top 10 picks? It was number 7 for DeBrincat and then like a 10th or 12th for Chychrun, and trading them both a year later. Like, just the worst asset management in the league over there.
Wasn't that... so it was Kevin Korchinski pick, and then Daniil Boot
at, which could 11? Have been
Zach Benson.
Yeah, it's bad.
Which could have been Benson.
Well, you know,
imagine they had
Coco. I don't think they would have taken Benson. I think they would have probably taken a D-man, because Ottawa has so many forwards. So I don't think Benson would have been their pick. As good as he would look in Ottawa, and as much as his game fits what they need more of, I don't think they would have taken him. But anyways, neither here nor there.
What D were available at that point too, right? Like, you're reaching in last year's draft. You said grab a D.
Well, maybe you move up.
Canucks with Willander. But those guys weren't, like, Montreal wasn't budging off Reinbacher, and Arizona obviously loves Simashev.
Yeah, they weren't moving off of that one, that's for sure.
No, gosh, no. They well,
what who D knows would what I have happened. Taken there? Yeah, I guess the next D taken was Alex Sandin Pelika, and then Bonk. Lindstein just came off a heck of World Juniors, but you don't take him that high. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of D there, so I guess it could have been Benson. I mean, it would give them more options for trades, that's for sure. Anyways, we digress.
But that was to sum it up, that was all like a Melnyk, like, initiated, let's make this team better quickly so that we can sell.
Oh, no, I understand why they did it. It was just really short-sighted.
Yeah.
Number 33, so we're talking Lekkomäki, Coronado. I think that's the list for here. Rossi, if you want, but I'm not putting him over those guys.
I would say Coronado in his first full year will put up similar numbers to Rossi at the same age, with I think a higher ceiling for a goal scorer.
That's fair. Okay, I like him at 33. 34, we'll do Lekkomäki. I spelled that completely wrong, but that's fine. 35, Rossi, Nyes, Perreault. I like Nyes there.
Yeah, he's going to be top six in Toronto.
Okay, so now we're talking about Rossi Perot. Let's make sure we're not missing anyone here. Rossi Perot. Brindley is next up on there. We got
Dvorsky as well.
Nemec.
Now, those guys are all kind of from, Nemec. We might have to bump him up on our list. But those guys are all from the same draft class last year.
Sorry to interrupt you. Oh, no. Nazar moved all the way up to 16. Okay. Sorry. Keep going.
Oh, just like Dvorsky, Perot,
Musty.
Brindley, Musty, Wood. Like all from the same draft class. So it's like, and they're all kind of like performing similarly this year, too. So it's hard to quantify who, you know, we got to lean into opportunity too. So it's like,
yeah,
Dvorsky's a center. So he would have to, you know, take one of those spots from Kyrou. Thomas is going to be their top line center without question. Kyrou might be better suited for wing down the road.
I think Dvorsky's their number two C. I think that's why he was drafted. That still keeps him off the power play possibly. So they're going to have Snuggerud, Kyrou, Thomas, Krug. Is Krug their guy on the power play? And then a fourth spot for Dvorsky, for Buchnevich. So Dvorsky's in tough. I don't like him in this spot because of opportunity. I think Yurov is the guy over Rossi. And I think that probably the guys you have to talk about here are Gavin Brindley. If for no other reason, then I'd be shocked if he's not playing beside Fantilli in the next couple of years. I love his game, much like Nazar. We've talked about this on the Hacks and on our show, but Nazar and Brindley were the two. I saw some stats that said they were the two most effective players for the U.S. Not the high scoring, but they just drove scoring chance after scoring chance after scoring chance and incredible zone time. I love those kinds of players, and they can both put the puck in the net or find the guy who's going to put the puck in the net. So I do like Brindley here. I'm open to the conversation if you want to have it about Musty or Wood, but I think, those are probably the next three for me.
With Musty,
Perot in there.
I was surprised that he fell as far as he did. Just the overall skill set, and you watch him play, and some of the plays that he makes, it's like he's one step ahead of the defender at all times. So like he knows where the guy's going to be, he knows what the defender's going to do, and so he just makes the play. And like if we're talking opportunity in San Jose, you know, you got William Eklund, Will Smith coming up. A hurdle will be there unless they trade him for a while, and Musty might be, you know, sitting shotgun with either Will Smith or Hurdle too.
Well, I think he will be. there's no doubt about that. They didn't draft him to be a checker. I agree. I was shocked that he went as low as he did, and I was shocked he didn't make the, not shocked, but I think it was, they won gold. So what can you say?
It was revealing.
He should have made USA. So I like Musty. I like Wood because of the opportunity in Nashville. I don't think Ryan O'Reilly is their top line C forever, certainly not for very long. But the thing about him is he is having, I guess you would say, the year you expected him to have. He's not...
He hasn't played a lot of games, you know, like... I shouldn't say he hasn't played the game. He hasn't performed quite as well as you would hope for his sophomore season in college.
Well under a point per game.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily think he, like, this is right around where we had him originally ranked, and I would still probably have him right where he is, but I would take a guy like Musty, Perot, over him right now.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. So we are talking Brindley, Musty, Gabe Perreault. Maverick Bourque? Can we talk about Maverick
Bourque? His time will come.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing.
He's sooner, probably.
I was just going to say, we had him at 50, and he's leading the AHL in scoring in his 1.5 year. So we certainly do need to respect that. But we can talk about that in a few. My pick here is Gavin Brindley because he impressed me the most at the World Juniors, and I haven't seen a ton of Musty this year. I like what he's doing, but Gavin Brindley standing out on that team to me was very eye opening. And I saw we both saw a lot of him last year. I think we under respected him because we thought he was just a product of Fantilli. He is not. He brings a complete game.
Yes, I agree. I think we're splitting hairs along the way here. He will. This is sophomore year. He'll probably sign at the end of the season unless Michigan goes deep, which I don't really see happening. But and so he'll finish the season and go to the A, and then next year he could maybe crack it next year.
Yeah, he might. I mean, here's the thing that we know about Columbus. They want to be in the playoffs, and they can't score. So, yeah. You know, having more depth than your top nine and a guy who probably won't hurt you in his own zone will go a long way. So what do we want at 37? Musty then or Perreault? I'm saying Musty just because the opportunity – is there?
Yeah,
he brings
the Rangers. The Rangers will either ship him out, which I think they'd have a hard time doing because I think they know what they have there. You give that guy time to mesh, and he's going to be putting up points. So it's just whether you can handle the NHL. Really, it's the only question.
Okay, so that leaves us with Dvorsky, Wood, Rossi probably in this spot, and then we can have the Maverick Bourque conversation among other guys. Oh, do we? Yeah, we did Lekkerimäki. Okay, for me, jeez. So my take is we aren't doing tiers, and if we are, we're not doing them yet. But we just started a new tier here. I'd also say we probably started one after Matthew Nyes, maybe. Dvorsky, Wood, Bourque, Rossi, Greig, Holtz, Savoy. Are we missing anyone else? We're not. Man, we crushed the top 30 in this list at the start of the year. That was such a good top 30. Yeah, I think that's... Oh, Nemich. I'm going to say Nemich. Just because he earned it. he's such a good player, man. He's Jersey's best defenseman night in, night out. At some point, I think that he's probably going to force their hand on Hamilton sooner than later. Or maybe, honestly, like, maybe even Hughes. Because Nemich is a much safer. Every game I watch, Luke Hughes is maybe even on chances for, chances against. Nemich is a heavy plus. So, and he can put the puck in the net. I think Nemich is going to force their hand sooner than we thought he was. And plus, I just think he's earned a bump from 47.
Well, and he's so, half a point per game at 19 years old with limited power play time.
Yeah, he's doing it all even strength, man. And he's the best player in their own end. Like he's a guy who they won't be able to take out of the roster. Like they can't. He's better than too many players there. If you're in game 7 of the playoffs in the first round against the Rangers, I bet they would play Nemich before Hughes, assuming that Hamilton is healthy and playing.
Like in an all situations type thing?
Like if you could only play one of them, they're going to play Nemich. Hughes is too raw defensively. The more I watch him, the more I think, like, if this is what obviously he's a rookie, but if this is what he's going to be, they're going to have to protect him a lot more than they are right now. Mind you, they're hurt, but he just bleeds chances left and right. And he's very, very good offensively, but you don't win games if your top four D-men are a -4 in scoring chances night in, night out. And Nemich is not that.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Nemich, 40.
Put him in.
Ding, ding, ding. We got a riser. All right. That's what she said. We made it like 15 episodes without saying that's what she said. Good for us. All right. Next up on the list, Dvorsky, Wood, Rossi, Bork. Greig, I think, is who we're talking about here. Holtz, potentially. Let me see if I'm missing anyone here. Connor Zeri needs to be in this list pretty soon.
Yeah, he's top six penciled in.
Yeah.
Career. I just think the offensive ceiling.
Yeah, he's limited.
Of these, like, necessarily, like, I think he'll contribute night in, night out. But just to get that, like, top power play spot. Like, I think Dvorsky's got a shot at it. Wood, if he makes the NHL and is able to play top six, he's definitely power play one. You could actually almost say the same thing for Kamel. And then there's Gabe Perreault, too. So who do you like? Then there's Gabe Perreault, too.
Oh, no. Perreault's 38.
Oh, we got him in there? Okay.
Yeah. Who do I like? Well, Connor Zeri is no slouch offensively. He's a first-round pick who has done very well at the AHL level, very well at the NHL level, and in his final season in the WHL, which would have been his D+1, I mean, he was 1.5 points per game. So I don't know how limited his ceiling is, but you've also got Jacob Pelletier coming in. Like, that top six in Calgary is getting crowded. It's going to be more of a top nine. That's the type of game they play. Who do I like here? I'm going to say Dvorsky. Just because you guys say someone. So I'm going to say Dvorsky.
That's what I was going to say, too. Yeah, I think it's just, yeah, St. Louis is waiting for this next wave of guys to come in to fill out that top six.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, my vote is Maverick Bork. I've loved him since he was in, oh, geez, Shawinigan? No. Where the hell was he in the queue? He played with Xavier Bourgault, and they made it to the Memorial Cup, and I am very tired. Where did he play? Jeez. This up. I know this.
Oh, Q? How can you remember Q teams?
Because I watched a lot of them.
It's like Rimouski. Rimouski, Halifax.
Right? No, it wasn't. It was Shawinigan. Like, he was 2-point-something points per game there. Threw 110 games at the AHL, or 105 games at the AHL level. He's 90 points. You know, he's got 42 points in 34 games this year. And Dallas is a wagon, and he's going to slot into that top six next year. I like Maverick Bork here.
They're letting him cook, hey? Like, he's marinating nicely down there. And
you know, I was thinking about that this morning while I was cursing all the drivers ahead of me going 30 and a 50. For some reason, it popped into my head that it's a shame that Dallas has been so healthy this year. Like, I don't think any of their guys besides Hintz, who's missed a few game time decisions, has actually been hurt at all. Otherwise, we would have seen Stankoven and Bork up at this point. And I think they probably thought that would happen given the age of some of their players. But
you couldn't take anyone but them. And so it could cause issues, because it would be, if they come up and they're able to slide into a top six or top nine role and they're able to perform, well, then what do you do? And so,
yeah, I mean, the issue there is that I did see that Wyatt Johnson was playing on the top line for a couple games, but their top nine currently is Robertson, Hintz, Will Johnston most recently, Marchment, Duchesne, Seguin, Ben, Sam Steele, and Joe Pavelski. So the only guy you can really swap out is Steele, but he's been good. Like, not amazing, but he's been, you know, I want to say 0.4 points per game. No, 0.3 points per game, 13 points in 39 games. So you could bump Steele down, but, I mean, obviously they haven't felt inclined to do that yet. He's just,
yeah, I think they just want to keep going the course and let those guys do their thing in the A and have a good program going from top to bottom.
Their fourth line is Craig Smith, Radek Faxa, and Dadanov. Like, give me a break. Man. obviously.
Great drafting, fantastic drafting. No income tax state helps getting those contracts down a bit.
They've got Liam Bischel coming, who is exactly what they need on their decor as well. So, and Thomas Harley's having a year. You know, as Sutter ages out, you're going to see Bischel kind of taking over that spot. He's not fantasy relevant, but teams are going. He's a Darian Hatcher clone, man. He's just big and mean. Anyways, Maverick Bork at 41. 42, I like Zeri.
Yeah, he's already doing it, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, you're looking at some question marks moving up, like Matthew Wood, some of the skating. He hasn't taken that next step. Same with, like, Kamel. He had a great end of the year last year, to start the year, and then, you know, he'll be close to a point per game by the end of the season, which is good for a D plus two. And then, you know, Ridley Gregg, besides that, and then there's Gabe Perreault sitting there. I keep bringing up, and Marco Rossi, too.
Rossi, I think, is 43. Mm. I don't think anyone else is ahead of him.
Who did you just say for 42 here?
42 is Zeri, 43 is Rossi.
Oh, 43 Rossi. Yeah, let's go Rossi. Yeah, we can't discount what he's doing this year, even though he's had a rough last couple years. But he was a point per game in the A last year too, so it's not like he has fallen off the face of the earth before this season.
Yeah, totally. So next up, we got Wood. We've covered all the guys that we wanted to slide in who didn't make the list earlier. So we've got six spots left. Do you have last year's list in front of you?
I do, yeah.
All right, so the six that I think we need to talk about are Wood, Ridley Gregg, Holtz has bounced back a little bit, so I'd include him in this conversation. Savoy should probably be there.
He's going to be hard to gauge from here on out. Musha's just, like, torching the dub right now.
Oh, Jagerfurkus could be on this list.
Could. Yeah. I think we would need a top 70.
For sure.
Well, Jaeger too.
I would take Furkas over Jaeger, personally. Do we talk about Othman? He's doing well in the OHL. Oliver Moore, I don't know if he's sticking. Oh, I thought I had this guy right now. Isaac Rosen should be in this discussion. He's doing very well in the AHL. Who am I missing? Did we get Matejchuk on this list?
No.
Well, Matejchuk should be on this list. So Matejchuk, Rosen. Oh, you know what? I had a second list on my phone. That's probably why I thought I had so many of these written down.
List three. God damn it.
Shane Wright. Well, you know, I think about stuff while I'm like driving. Nate Danielson could be in the conversation. I think that's about it. Liam Ogren, maybe. Did I say Ogren?
You know, I'm buying Gabe Perreault.
Dude, we got him. He's 38.
Did we get him in 38? See, yeah. I don't have our list in front of me. So
it went Brindley, Muskie, Perreault, Nemec. So yeah,
okay.
He's already bought.
Good. Yeah. I had to force him in there.
Rucker McGroarty, and then Joshua Roy is a guy who I feel like would be a fun Hail Mary. Roy. All right. Well, the first guy on this list, I think, is probably Matejchuk. Just ability-wise, he's very good. Man, this is going to be a tough six to fill out. Greig would be at the top of the list if he didn't play for Ottawa. Holtz. Jeez. You want to just put these names in a hat? I know. Listeners are like, what? These names in a hat?
It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
I mean, it does, but you know.
Well, there's going to be some guys left off here. So, like, the list has grown to the point where we have more than 50 capable players that can make that top 50. So, now if we're going opportunity mixed with pedigree. I would say Wood. I just feel him in Nashville, they saw something there, and I can see it too, like a really offensively talented player just needs to figure out that skating. His point total this year might be a product of the program he's at in UConn, where they don't score a lot of goals too. And so,
yeah, he picked a weird route. Yeah. So for me, Rosen is in Buffalo. He's doing very, very well in the AHL, right near Kulich as far as production. So he is at 25 points in 31 games. Overall, he's played 97 games and he's got 65 points, so a little lower. Opportunity-wise, I agree with Wood, but I just don't know that he's there. Joshua Roy, I've been betting against and trading and reacquiring and trading for so long. But, like, he's killing the AHL this year, man. I don't know how we don't talk about Josh Roy here, to be honest. Montreal's top six is barren outside of three guys. And Joshua Roy, as of when did he get called up? A week ago? As of a week ago, was at 30 points in 34 games in the AHL. So, are you talking right now?
No.
No, okay. So, yeah, I guess we're talking about Wood, Roy, Matejchuk is probably the next three for me. And then, you know, honestly, like, Shane Wright isn't all that bad. I mean, he's doing decent.
Do you like Matejchuk much more than Scott Morrow?
I'm not a buyer on Scott Morrow beating out Nikishin in Carolina, I'll say that much. But, I mean, they're both very, very, very blocked. And Matejchuk plays in Moose Jaw. So this is why it's a jumbled bag, because all these guys have similar upsides, I think. Like, okay, let's do it this way. Pure talent in a vacuum. Ridley Gregg, Matthew Wood, Matejczuk, Rosen, Roy Holt. Right. Who scores the most if the league got a new franchise tomorrow and all those guys are available to be drafted to it? Who's the highest upside guy? Because I think maybe that's...
Matthew Wood?
You think you're still going to go with Wood, hey? Yeah. I mean, of course you are. What did you say? You're right until you're wrong, and it takes 15 years to be wrong? Something like that. All right, I'm going to give you Matthew Wood. I don't agree with it, but I'm going to give you Matthew Wood. 14 points in 20 games is bullshit, though. Then I'm taking Joshua Roy next because I'm throwing a Hail Mary. Which leaves us with Matejczuk, Gregg, Rosen, Holtz, and Wright.
The interesting thing with Joshua Roy is that he was a phenom offensive player, but the question mark was if he could round out his game. He was a bit of...
Yeah,
he wasn't very good defensively. Then he picked up the defensive side of the game.
Yep.
And he's still amazing offensively. So
it's the only thing that's stopping him from being a top, I'm going to say 25 prospect is 3 inches.
At this point in time, yeah.
Which isn't to say he won't become a top 25 prospect. I mean, like I said, two guys who have been brought up a lot together are Jordan Dumais and Joshua Roy. Now, one of them just had double hip surgery, so that sucks. But to me, they're such different players. Joshua Roy is very, very smart defensively. He strips pucks. He gets in passing lanes in the offensive zone. And he's, like, elite offensively. If he can, he should spend this whole summer with, who was Eberle's power skating coach? You knew her.
Leanne Davis.
Leanne Davis
and Joshua Roy. Leanne's getting a shout out on Puck Dynasty.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you bet she is. Well, I got to try on an Oilers cup ring because of her.
That's so true. Yeah. Old Lauren Davis's daughter from the Oiler days.
That's right. Yeah. You should spend the summer with her and develop an explosive first or second step because that's all he can add to his rapport at this point. Other than that, he's fantastic. Scored a goal the other night in his second game, third game.
And that was a great play, too, because he held up and went and took, instead of going far post, he held up and waited for Monahan to make that pass to him up front. Yeah, he's so heady, and he can adapt to the players he's playing with, too, which is a great trait to have as an offensive player. And he can play wing, he can play center. Yeah. Good pick. Good slide in there for Joshua Roy. Nice little fifth rounder.
Yeah, get him in there. Next up, I think Shane Wright's the guy next. I think it's Wright or Holtz.
Wright, throw a dog a bone. Throw a dog a bone to Shane Wright. He's having a good
we both hate Shane Wright.
I wouldn't say hate. But he did have that sweet spin around goal in the World Juniors. That's for sure.
I couldn't,
and he almost finished it too.
I know. In the gold medal game. I couldn't even cheer for him. I couldn't even cheer for him when he played for Canada, man. I just couldn't. I don't like the guy. Okay.
We got long memories here. Don't be pulling no nonsense at the draft, or else you won't.
Well, and you know what? I don't like his face. He's got a punchable face. I don't like his attitude. And last night's game against Seattle, I don't like Seattle anymore. I mean, not that I was ever a fan, but like they pissed me off. There's just nothing to like about this kid other than the fact that he's putting up pretty decent.
Yeah, he does reek of entitlement.
Totally. He's like the poster child for the types of kids who get a leg up on everyone else in Hockey Canada.
Well, just like that whole it wasn't his fault that the O didn't play at all during the COVID season, but he can go anywhere. And that, you know, that blew up in his face. You know, he was probably too good to go play somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, so Rosen, Holtz, Ridley Gregg, Matejchuk. Just real quick, the guys we are not talking about here, Savoy, are Kemmel, Morrow, Marco Casper. I think Danielson probably deserves some discussion here. Reinbacher, who's been pretty good. Like, you know, he doesn't, fantasy-wise, I don't love David Reinbacher. Miro Shishenko, Tyson Forrester, Dylan Holloway, and Fabian Lysell are all guys who we're not really talking about here today.
I do like Kemmel. I know you do. I think he's going to be an offensive contributor in Nashville. And, yeah, great shot, great one-timer. But we're kind of just, you know, reshuffling the deck here a little bit. He might – very good chance he gets some action in Nashville at the end of the year this year, I think. But
I don't know, man. Not if Nashville's pushing for a playoff spot. But, yeah, he's – I mean, Kemmel has dipped in production this year in the AHL. Yeah. So – for whatever reason, and I haven't seen him once all year. I saw two games last year, and he did look good. I mean, he had a high shooting percentage, so he like
regression. Yeah, he came in hot. He came in really hot.
Yeah. So I mean, if you are picking right now, fantasy wise, are you taking Ridley Gregg or Joaquin Kemmel? Because one of them looks like he's going to be a 50 to 60 point anywhere in the lineup guy. And one of them is a question mark.
I would take Ridley Gregg in that instance.
Yeah, so right now, you've got, I think it's Gregg and then Holtz here. And then let's figure out
who are. The one guy that is dropping, and I don't know if he drops all the way off, Lucas Reichel, who we had.
Yeah, he drops all the way off. Do you want to know why? I'll tell you why. I'll show you.
Because he didn't get that spot? Or
no. No. See, that's bullshit. No. I thought he was a good chance to get... What Diebert is referencing here is I thought he would play with Bedard, and he hasn't. And that's fine. There's still five other spots in the top six. Here's his war sheet from Jay Fresh, who some people love, some people don't, but these numbers are pretty damning. 4% projected war. He's got a 0% offense versus defense versus finishing, 0% war percentile rack, even strength offense, 21%, defense, 28%, power play, 2%, finishing's 21%, teammates are 38%, competition's 34%, penalties 34%, first assist 35%, goals 30%. Like, these are terrible numbers. These are terrible numbers. These are like send him to the AHL for the love of God numbers. So that's why he's off the list for me. And I've seen him, I don't know, 8 times this year. And in the first couple games, he was decent. He was making things happen. He couldn't finish a stick handle to finish a play. And that was in the first, I'd say, 2 weeks. I think I saw them 3 times. And since then, he's been arguably the worst player on Chicago. So it's not just a matter of the fact he's not playing with Bedard. It's like he's completely lost his game. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a buy-low opportunity here, but I sold Reichel in a deal for Mackenzie Weegar, and I am more than happy to do a deal like that.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything this season to warrant, you know, where we had slot him in last year was the potential to play with Bedard.
No, and it was based off of the year he just had. He had a very good year last year in the AHL and the NHL. Yes. He was very good. He had
15 points, 23 games. That's true. Point per game in the A.
No, he was awesome, man. I was like, okay, at worst, he's a top six center. And over the next 3 years, Chicago.
But where we had him was the Bedard bump, right?
Yes. 15. I would say without, if he had played for any other team, he probably would have been closer to 25 or 30. So I have no, and you know what, the guy we put in a slot is Nazar, because there is such a thing as the Bedard bump, but also Nazar was great. So yeah, for me, it's Ridley Greig at 47. It's Holtz at 48. And I mean, I think we got to put Savoy on this list somewhere, because if he's a trade chip, he'll go from 50 to 30 overnight. Put that guy in Arizona, he's, you know, everyone's happy to have him.
Now, if you took the production and you ignored it and you just watched the hockey games at World Juniors, he was good a few games. Like, he was a water bug out there, created a few chances. He was just snake bitten. You know, and you don't want to base a lot off of the tournament, but back-to-back years, he's had fantastic years in the dub.
On stacked teams.
On stacked teams.
He's got like a 20 or 30 point bump, but he is good. He's not, I mean, I guess where I go is, so last year already people were saying he's not Benson. Benson's the best player. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Is he better than Connor Keke?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Yeah. So second best player on that line, which is not.
He's small. The guy.
He's very small. So I'm happy to put Savoy here. And then the last guy on our list.
And so, I think they'll trade him. I think they will trade Savoy, because they have Benson up there. They have Skinner, undersized forwards. You know, there's a lot of skill going on. And eventually Buffalo is going to have to consolidate these prospects and move them for a bigger chip.
Yeah, it's getting kind of silly at this point. Like, they just have so many guys. So who do you want at 50? You got a guy?
Home run. Not off the top of my head. No one that's like too wildly out there.
Easton Cowan could be on this list.
Why is 50 such like a... feel like such an important pick?
Oh, you know, like 47, because it's the last pick of the draft.
I know.
Do you know who the last pick in the, or no, he wasn't the last pick in the draft. Do you know who David Poile's last draft pick was as the GM of Nashville?
I remember
they traded for a pick so he could make one more pick. Do you know who it was?
You're going to have to remind me. I remember this story, though.
All right, we're going to do a... why am I improv? We're going to do a... I'm giving away one of my guys here. And actually, I should give you a few of them, because I think I'm full roster. His name is Aiden Fink. He was the number 218th pick in the draft. He plays for Pennsylvania State U. How many points did we say Wood had in 20 games? Was it 15?
I think it's 14, but yeah.
27 points in 22 games for Pennsylvania.
What kind of competition is he playing in? What conference is he in?
Well, that he's in the Big Ten.
Penn State hockey. You want to go way off the board, David?
Oh, no. Oh. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, like, last pick of the draft is fun. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, by no means am I saying he should be the guy. I don't want to go way off the board. That's a guy you should be picking up in CMHL. You know what? Let's see him at Tkachuk. Just because if he does win the power play, that's, he's got the skills. Oh, no. Yeah, we have Holtz already. Yeah, I think it's... I think it's Tkachuk.
I liked him at World Juniors. I thought he looked great. I thought he was like a poor man Zellweger out there. Yeah, let's do it. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that is our top 50. Is there anyone you think we need to move here? So let's go through this again. Bedard, Fantilli, Hughes, Clark, Michkov. I'm going to slow down when I start to think about any of these. Carlson, Cooley, Smith, Hudson, Benson, Zellweger, Matyukov, Cutter, Ryan Leonard, Devin Levi, Frank Nazer, Jesper Wallstad, William Eklund, Krejcinski, Nikishkin, Stankoven, Slavkovsky is up in his stock. Faber, I love. I could swap Faber with Krejcinski, but I won't because Krejcinski is PP1. Yurecek, Edvinson, Kulic, Putra, Wolf, Askarov, Genther, Yurov, Snuggerud, Coronado, Lurker, Murky is how I spelt that, Matthew Nyes, Gavin Brindley, Quinton Musty, Gabe Perreault, Simon Nemich, Dalibor Dvorsky, Maverick Bork, Connor Zeri, Marco Rossi, Matthew Wood, Dievert's pick, Joshua Roy, my pick.
Ooh, it's a Wood versus Roy.
It's a Wood versus Roy, and I'm going to win that one. Shane Wright, Ridley Greig, Alexander Holtz, Matthew Savoy, Dante Mateschuk. Nothing jumps out to me right now. I mean, I think you could swap potentially.
Like, who's an honorable mention, like, on the top of the list? Oliver Moore, maybe.
No, I don't like Moore. I mean, I do, but I was.
I like him, but I feel he's going to be a role player with the Hawks.
I said Andrew Cogliano.
Yeah.
I saw Andrew Cogliano at World Juniors. You've seen more of him this year than I have. He is good. I wonder if his offense will translate. I wonder if he's going to be their second line center or worse. The thing about Chicago is eventually they're going to start spending money and they're going to load up.
And there's a Miro Shishenko, who doesn't have a lot blocking him in Washington too. So he'd be an honorable mention for me as well. Mm-hmm. But I think we're pretty good at it. Actually, I like the list. I like the updated list.
Yeah, I felt like we did a really good job on the first one. Certainly our top 30 was solid. And Miro Shishenko is like 0.5 points per game in the AHL. To me, the two guys who I think should be on this list who aren't are Isaac Rosen and Nate Danielson. I think Danielson's going to be top six in Detroit. I think that he might explode to Portland here. He's only point per game right now. And his D plus one, but he was one of my favorite Team Canada players. I thought that as far as seeing a pro game, I would take him over Savoy for sure. I would take him over Savoy from a going to make the NHL perspective. From a boom swing, I like Savoy better. But if I was drafting today, I'm taking Danielson over Savoy 10 times out of 10.
That's fair.
As a GM. And then Rosen has good production in the AHL, but blocked out the wazoo. Okay, so that's our list. We'd love to hear from you. Who you think is too high, who you think is too low, who you think got the shaft. For the record, the guys who fell off our list completely were Lucas Reichel, Oliver Moore, Marco Casper, Scott Morrow, Kamel, Reinbacher, Miro Shishenko, Forrester, Holloway, and for some reason I can't, Fabian Lysell. So we ditched, 10 guys? That's not bad. It's not bad. I'm really looking forward. So this was our final update. Maybe we do one at the end of the year before we throw this one away and start again next year. But basically we had no games cut off on this list, which is a little unusual, but a lot of this is just navel-gazing, folks. We were here to see how we did, admit we were wrong in some places. In our top 25 to 30, I think we were more right than we were wrong. And in the 30 to 50 range, there have been some surprises. You know, we should have had more honorable mentions. I think the honorable mentions, Kamel would be there. Scott Morrow would be there for me. Wood would be there. And I'm not ready to write off Dylan Holloway yet. That kid's got skill out the wazoo and he's been hurt too much. And currently the Oilers' second line with Dreisaitl is Fogle, who's walking at the end of the year, and McLeod, who should really be playing center. So there's a spot there.
There is a wild card with the Avalanche and Kovalenko, too.
Jeez. Kovalenko should be 50.
Do it.
Yeah. Jeez, man. You know, he was number one on my UFA list this year. Remember when Chicago took him?
Yeah.
At like number two, and everyone's like, who the heck is that guy?
And I saw that pick and I was like, oh, I must have missed something. He's coming over this year.
You didn't know?
Well, I didn't. Well, no, I thought he was staying in Russia another year.
No.
When he got picked in our UFA draft, second overall, I was like, oh, I must have missed something. He's coming over. Then I looked it up and I'm like, what does he do? What's he smoking?
He's coming over and he's put up huge numbers this year in the KHL.
He is going to slide in as like
top six.
A Gabe Landeskog replacement on there, which they already have Nichushkin, who's filling that role.
Great. No, they don't. How do you figure? Mm. He's back in friggin' rehab, man.
Well, yeah, that's temporary. But
temporary.
Is this getting shit fit?
It's his second rehab in 8 months. And
I don't think he was actually in rehab before.
We don't know where he went, Deaver. Yeah. No one knows where he went. Exactly. We know there was a beat up Lady of the Night, or a Maiden of the Mist, as they call them in Niagara Falls. We knew that he had to split with absolutely no explanation in the middle of a playoff series. I don't know how you – I mean, forget it. That's worse than rehab, buddy. Listen, let me tell you. It's bad. It's bad. I don't – I mean, maybe he comes back.
You think this is bad right now?
I don't think it's worse than what happened in the playoffs last year. I think it doesn't bode well for a guy like that. Like, there's a term they use in a different sport about strikes and how many till you're out. And I realize he was producing like a mofo this year, but don't you worry? I mean, you're an Habs fan. Are you not concerned? I would be.
Not so much. Just mostly, I guess if Sam Girard hadn't just come out and like is playing really well, and then he's going in, and so, you know, I think if something happens again, then it's like, okay, mayday, because we can't afford to not have.
Well, yeah, that would be the third strike. That's, and I mean, here's the thing: having a little bit of experience in the terms of addiction, you do not want guys who fall off the wagon. Generally, it's a bit like people who clean themselves up with one or two slips. People who don't are the every 6 to 12 months, they're back where they were. His behavior from what I just saw online was alarming in the summer. There were stories about the girlfriend. There was photos with, was it guns? There were gun photos. Yeah, there were gun photos. And now he's leaving in the middle of the year again. I'd be worried. I'd be worried for sure. I agree. You're going to give him another shot. You should give him another shot, but, it's a good thing you guys don't rely on him more than you do, because you'd be a bit more concerned if you didn't have Kovalenko, Drew, and maybe Landeskog coming in.
No, you can't bank on Landeskog.
Well, I agree. I don't even think they should play him this year.
Yeah.
I think
he comes in third line and
he's just
a free player.
How do you put Landeskog? I mean, considering he's in this spot because he pushed too hard to get them a cup, you're going to do it again? Give him a summer. Let the guy get up to speed. Give him a preseason. I would hate to see them play Landeskog again, not because I don't want to see Colorado win, but because I worry about his long term. But anyways, Kovalenko is our new number 50, and rightfully so. If we were still doing Snag of the Week, Kovalenko is the guy that we would be talking about for sure. You know who's another guy we'd be talking about for sure, who is starting to push probably our drop list or our honorable mentions is Artseny Gritsyuk has nine straight games with a point. I think he's scored in four straight games in the KHL. He's so good. He is such a fun player to watch. He's the guy who I said Holtz got to watch his back for, and he's coming next year. So,
anyways. No, he's not.
Isn't it next year?
No, it's the year after. He's a guy who could make our prospect list, but is too old for the under 23 list.
You're sure it's not next year?
Yeah.
It's 2026?
It's 24, 25, or 25, 26. Yeah, he's same time as Michkov.
It runs through 2025. Yeah, huh. Jesus. I thought he could come over at the end of next year.
That doesn't work in the K. I think they can come over to the AHL, but they can't come over and play NHL.
Huh. Well, there you have it. Doesn't work.
Yeah, because you can sign. I've been trying to figure this out with Michkov and trying to time when I sign him in our league so that I max out on contract value. But, yeah, a lot of strange contracts for different leagues. It's so weird. It's so weird. It's so weird these AHL kids get to come over and, like, come play in the AHL right away. And then you can't do that from the CHL. I mean, it's just – it's it makes you not want to draft. Like if you're looking between the two, like guys like Musty, for example. Next year, he's going to be way too good for the OHL.
Yep.
He can't play in the AHL, so San Jose is going to have to do the same thing they did with Savoy this year or whoever, where they play them spot duty until Christmas, and he probably won't be on the USA team because, well, they don't take – I guess he wouldn't be a CHL player at that point, so maybe they
would take him
for World Juniors. But, yeah, it's too bad that there couldn't be some sort of –
You know what they need to do is they need to give each team one or two, just like golden tickets, where you know where it's like the franchise player tag in basketball, but it's for prospects.
One in 5 years, I think it's reasonable.
I would say just one at a time.
It's totally like the tail is wagging the dog. It's like the CHL is running the NHL show somehow on this. And I get it, development league, they want to keep the values or the talent level up.
Well, and it's to keep the league going. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that it's in the NHL's best interest, or it has been for the last 30 years, that the CHL do well. You might see some changes here. Now that you've got guys like Rodwin Dionicio headed over to Switzerland for his D+2. You had Austin Matthews take off for his draft season. The NCAA is certainly your and my preferred route for a player to go. You might see the NHL at some point go, you know what? Like, you've served a purpose, but we've had it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to look up that that Rodman going to the Swiss League just because players that sign a CHL contract, I believe that's acknowledged by the IIHF, but it doesn't have term. Like, the players can't just leave when they want from the CHL to go over and play in Europe, or else I think you would see it more often.
No, I think they can't.
I think you need permission of some sorts. I don't think you could just jump ship. I'd have to look into how those contracts work.
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that, and I read up a little bit because I happened to have signed the guy and then immediately flipped him after doing a hard sell job to a GM who I think is a smart guy. But I tell you, you don't want to get into a screen grab competition with me. You know, I threw all the advanced stats from World Juniors at him, and he was like, would you take Drouin? It's like, yeah, I just signed this guy, and I had to give him a 3-year deal, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get a single NHL season out of that. Yeah, I will take Jonathan Drouin. Thank you. Post it.
And now that Nichushkin's gone, you're just like froth, and he's first line everything in Colorado. Yeah. Drouin. Yeah. Great. How many tie ratties, rat tails did I give him? I think I gave him a 4. On rat tails in the preseason rankings.
I don't remember if that was good or bad.
Well, I gave him the high score for I think he's going to do it.
Oh, do well. Yeah. Well, you were, you know, that's one of those cases where your claim of it takes 15 years to be wrong can certainly be applied, because for 30 games, it looked like you were wrong. And then he just figured it out, man.
Yeah.
Through the roof.
Patience. Yeah.
All right, folks. That's our show. I don't want 80 minutes is good enough. We hope you enjoyed our top 50. Feel free to reach out on Twitter or otherwise. Again, we are Dynasty Puck on Twitter. We are Puck Dynasty on Reddit. Our stuff pops up all over the place. Or you can always reach out to the Fantasy Hacks and say, I want to talk about that Puck Dynasty. Thanks for listening. Deaver, thanks for talking to me. Have yourself a great night, buddy, and everyone listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks again.
Adios. Happy weekend, y'all.